Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Everybody, this morning, please turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we are going to begin there. And thanks so much for the kind introduction. You know, when they introduce you, it kind of makes you sound pretty good. You know, I was like, oh, that guy must be pretty cool. Yeah, we knew Mike and Sean back in the Bronx. And in fact, you know, it's funny because it's been like a lot of years, but Kim and Sean kind of look the same. But Mike and I we've not aged well. And but Sean seriously looks like she did when she first was converted in the Bronx. She's a beautiful woman, beautiful Christian. Mike, you're okay too. And of course, Kim is just the best. But you know, it's like we're just so looking forward to being here with you today. It is great to be with the Path in the John Lewis Invictus School. What a great place. I mean, this is a great school. And you know, it's really wonderful that you all get to meet here. We appreciate everything you're doing at the Path and at Morehouse and Spelman and Clark and just all over the place. And our hearts are with you. Everybody in Northview, it's like when you guys come up and visit with us in January usually, I mean, it's a big deal for everybody. People love it because people want to go to church with people that love God, you know, and it doesn't matter if you're black, white, or polka dot. It's like if you love God, you got a connection. You have a real affinity with one another, and it is so good to be with you here this morning. Let's go ahead and get started. You know, our lives are all so affected by technology. You know, I mean, I've got the microphone here, and if I didn't have it, things wouldn't be good. I drove here in a car. You know, it's like there's a lot of technology. I'm so old that I remember when TV was in black and white. That's old. I mean, you know, I remember when there were three channels, ABC, NBC, CBS. I remember when TV stopped at midnight. You'd have the news, and then they'd play the Star Spangled Banner, and it was like, okay, we're going to bed, just like everybody should be. I mean, I'm old, you understand? Now, I still have hair. It hasn't turned loose, but it has turned gray, and so you know I'm old. So I've seen technology change a lot over the year. My favorite piece of technology today is our phones. I mean, you know, in our hands, we hold a supercomputer. You have a computer that connects you to the World Wide Web, the Internet, and you can tap into libraries in Cairo, and you can find out what, you know, Kim Kardashian West is doing today. I mean, just all this amazing stuff. And you also have a virtual assistant in your phone, you know, Siri, right? And so, you know, the other day I was driving, and so I wanted to send a text, but I didn't want to text and drive because that was against the law. So I said, Siri, send a text message to so-and-so. And what would you like me to say? So I said, what I want her to say. She says, great, I'll send it. And so then after she sends it, she says, could you tell me how to pronounce that name? I don't know how to say it. And I said, no. So I didn't like her tone. And you know what she said after that? She said, Coolio. She said, Coolio. I am telling you God's honest truth. I said, you know, will you help me? Will you pronounce the name? I don't know how to say it. I said, no. She said, okay, Coolio. She didn't say, all right. She didn't say, cool. She said, Coolio. You see, our artificial intelligence overlords are way ahead of schedule with us. I've seen the end of The Matrix. I know what happens in this movie, and I don't want any a part of it. But, you know, that's technology, and it's coming, so we just got to learn how to deal, right? My favorite technology on my phone is my map apps. You know, it's just like if you've got maps on your phone, it's like you can go anywhere. You can get anywhere. And you can find, if you're lost, you're never lost. How can you be lost? You just say, you know, okay. And it sends a signal up to a satellite. This is technology. It sends a signal up to a satellite. and it bounces off the satellite, comes back to where you are. It knows right where you are, and you tell it where you want to go, and it says, calculating, you know, in 500 feet, take a right, and then go down and take a left and take a right. I mean, the Maps app is amazing. You know, sometimes we get frustrated with our phones. Like, you know, the Maps app. It's like, man, this thing is so stupid. You know, it's like taking so long to tell me how to get there. You know, it's got to go to space. You know, give it a second. Just give it a second. It's got to go to space and bounce off a satellite. And if it was up to you and me, we wouldn't have a satellite up in space, and we wouldn't know what the, I don't even know what the signal is. I don't know how it works. But I know it tells me to take a right in 500 feet, so I'm okay with that. You know, wouldn't it be great if you had something like that for your life? You know, something that knew where you were all the time and would tell you how to get to where you're trying to go. Wouldn't that be amazing if you had something like that? Well, you know, wait, we do. But yeah, God knows where we are all the time. God knows exactly what you need. God knows exactly where you need to go to. And God will tell you exactly how to get there. In 500 feet, take a right, take a left on Elm Street, a right on Hollowell Parkway. He knows where we should be going, and He knows how to tell us how to get there. That's pretty amazing. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all Scripture, or some people pronounce it, Scripture. And I don't know why they pronounce it like that, but I've heard that many times, all Scripture. Okay, fine. All Scripture, I'm going to stick with, is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All Scripture is God-breathed. It comes straight from the mouth of God. And it's useful. You know, the Bible's useful. What are some things around your house that are useful? A vacuum cleaner, a blender, fly swatter, those things are useful. But we don't usually think about the Bible being useful. You know, when I was growing up, the Bible was just that big black book that sat on your grandparents' coffee table. You know, right by the bowl of candy, right? Does anybody else have that? Of course, you guys are so young. Your grandparents are probably like 40 and drive Teslas, you know. But for me, it was like the only place I ever saw the Bible was the big one. It had like all the pictures in it and, you know, who married who, and had a lock on it. I guess I want to keep the wrong people out of there or something. But it was on my grandparents' coffee table next to the bowl of candy in the room that nobody ever went. But, you know, it says the Bible's useful, and it's useful for teaching. It's useful for rebuking. It's useful for correcting. And it's useful for training in righteousness. You know, if you want a great life, you got to trust the process. I understand you guys have been talking about trusting the process. If you want a great life, you've got to trust the process. You know what the process is? This is the process. That's the process right here. The Word of God, all God, it's all breathed by God. It's useful for teaching and training in righteousness and correcting and rebuking. That's the process. I find that the hard part of trusting the process, the hard part is the trust. You know, because every January 1st, doggone, I start a diet. You know, and I've got the process down. I understand the process. If I eat less calories than I expend, I'm going to lose weight. That's the process. The hard part is trusting that process. Because the first week, I mean, January 1 through 7, I'm a rock. I am so strong. It's like somebody says, you know, hey, you want some cake? No, thank you. I'm Captain Willpower. I do not want cake. Second week, somebody says, hey, you want some ice cream? I probably shouldn't. Third week, would you like some fudge? Does it have nuts in it? And I'm off the process. By January 21st, I'm off. See, it's the process is good. The process is solid. It's my trusting the process that's the hard part. You know, you guys, you're so young. You're welcome. You're welcome. But you are. And the other thing I've noticed is black people don't age. I don't know if you can say that anymore, but that's one man's opinion. White people age like crazy. I mean, you know, the hair that falls out and the skin is like disgusting. And it's like, you know, just like fat and bald and, you know, it's just nasty business. Aging is no fun, kids. Don't do it. But all you guys, it's like you look exactly the same as you did 30 years ago. What is happening? You know, how old are you? Are you 70, Angel? Is that how old you are? But I mean, look at him. Christina looks like she's six. You know, it's like so young. So young. And you guys are all so young. You got your whole life out in front of you. I mean, you know, you're 20, you're 21, you're old, you're 26, something like that. You know, it's like you guys are so young. You've got your whole lives out in front of you. And I'm telling you, today's world is crazy. I don't really want to go back in time and try to live again because it's nuts today. Because I know a lot because I've seen a lot. And it's crazy today, but your whole life is out in front of you. You can do anything you want to do. You can be anything you want to be. You can be just as spiritual as you want to be. You can have the most amazing relationship with God. You can have the most amazing marriage. You can have great children. You can have success in your profession. You can make lots of money. You can move into a gated community if you want to. You can do whatever you want to do. It's just right out there in front of you. But here's the thing I'm going to tell you about being young. It's filled with obstacles. I mean, there are roadblocks in your way. Things that are going to try to trip you up. Obstacles. Expect the unexpected in your life. People that you think are your best friends, they're going to be the ones that stab you in the back. Expect it. Things that you think are, man, this is the way to go. I know that she's the one. It's going to turn out horribly for you. Expect the unexpected. It's going to happen. You can be the best wife in the world, but if your husband is a horn dog, your life is going to have obstacles and troubles. You can be the best parent in the world, and yet your kids are still going to break your heart in two. These children of ours, you know, they will do stuff that will take you out. It's like, you know, it's like people that have three kids. It's like, if you have three children, there's a spiritual rule that at any one time, only two of them can be doing well, spiritually. I don't know what it is. Now, I have seen in nature a family with three children, and all three were doing well at the same time, but that's like seeing a unicorn. You know, it's like you just never see it. If you have children, just expect them to mess up. And expect them to break your heart in the craziest ways possible. Because what they're trying to do is they're trying to live their lives. And the way they do that is by being different than you are. Now we want, you know, I love sports. I want to, you know, get my kid to be a player for the Falcons. No, he's going into dance. I guarantee it. He wants to do something different. Now, after a while, they'll sort of come back on around, but children will tear you up. You know, sometimes our kids say, you know, I want to go travel through Thailand and find myself. You had a kid do that yet? Yeah. I just want to travel around in Thailand and find myself. You know what that's code for, right? That's code for smoke weed in Thailand. That's what that's code for. Expect your children to give you a hard time. Just expect it, and then when it happens, you won't be so surprised. You know, and if your life gets off track a little bit, you know what happens? That's when the map apps come on and says, recalculating. You know, yeah, because we always think we know the best way. Oh, this is wrong. This is so dumb. You know, I know a better way. So you take it in the precinct, you're like, I don't know where the heck I am. You know, Siri, what's happening? Recalculating. God does that in our lives all the time. It's not like you have to get everything perfect, because you're not. God will recalculate. The Word of God will recalculate, and you will be back on track. Look in Galatians 5. Amen. Galatians 5. Oh, Galatians 5. Is he? He's not gonna read Galatians 5. Is he? Oh, yes, he is. That's exactly what he's going to read. Galatians 5, verse 19 through 21. The first time I read this, when I was a college student at the University of Florida, I was shocked when I read this. Because I could not believe at how specific the Bible got. How it just kind of says it. You know, things that people are just kind of skirting around and maybe, possibly, perhaps. Man, the Bible just says it. Look in Galatians 5, verse 19. You know, snap in your seatbelts, youngins. It's time. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Are you kidding me? The Bible just comes right out and says it. That's right. Nobody today will say it. I mean, you know, today you got there's so much evil in the world, but there's no sin anymore. Have you noticed that? Oh, that guy's a fascist. He's a Nazi, misogynist, racist. We have all this evil, but nobody's a sinner anymore. How is that possible? Well, the truth is, everybody's still sinners. And this is so specific about what our problems are, what the acts of the sinful nature are. And if you act like this, you're not going to go into the kingdom of heaven. The Bible's very strong, very straightforward. You know, we tend to think of big sinners and small sinners. And, you know, it's like, well, yeah, I'm kind of a small sinner. Like, for instance, if we took everybody in the room here and we lined us up, and we got the very best people in the room down here, you know, small sinners, very righteous, all this stuff. They're down at that end, and then we just kind of line up single file all the way down to the other end where the big sinners are. And, you know, we basically could do this. You know, if we looked around, yeah, you know, we got a basic idea. Who's the really good people and who's the bad sinners? And, you know, so down here at this end, you'd have Sean and Christina, probably Angel, Jazz, you know, be down there. And then down at this far end, I'd be down there for sure. And it'd be like, Mike would be with me definitely. And it'd be like, you know, I'd look down at the very end like, Angel, hi. You know, because that's the way we think, right? We think big sinners and bad sinners. And the big sinners, they're in big trouble. But, you know, just me, you know, I'm not really a big sinner. No, that's not the way it works at all. And he tells us here, he says, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. It's obvious. You know, when I was working as a pharmacist at Publix, there was this patient that used to come in, and he had the worst toupee in the history of toupees. I mean, it was like, you know, the color of the toupee was different than the sidebars, and he was always like tugging on it, you know, just like he was making no pretense to try to like fake it. It was the most obvious thing. And this guy would come in, and that's all you could notice about him was how obvious his toupee was. Well, see, that's the way sin is. Sin is like a bad toupee. It's obvious. You know, you think you're getting away with it, but you're not. It's obvious. It's very obvious. Now, I don't know, you know, maybe, like, if you have on a toupee today or a weave that, you know, I didn't even notice anything. Yours looks great because I didn't notice it. But some people, it's very obvious. It says, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality. Well, you know, we don't have to talk about that very much, do we? Yeah, we really do. Trust the process, young people, with your sexuality. You got the world telling you to take some crazy, janky sort of turns and do this. Get into this. No, trust the process. Trust the Bible with your sexuality. Sexual immorality is defined as all sexual activity outside of marriage. All sexual activity outside of marriage. So what that means is if you're sleeping around with somebody else, it's not your wife, yeah, that's sexual immorality. That means if you're not married at all and you're sleeping with somebody, yeah, that's sexual immorality. Now, this does not sit well with the world. Remember, it's like all this evil but no sin. Oh, yeah, there is. There's lots and lots of sin. We just don't like talking about that. But it's obvious. You know, I've been married for 38 years to one woman. And, wanted to put that little corollary in there. And monogamy, you know, that's what it is. Monogamy is one man, one woman, one life, okay? Monogamy is difficult. There are temptations. Monogamy is difficult. And, you know, the scientists tell us that, you know, animals are not monogamous. Therefore, humans don't have to be monogamous. That's what scientists say. You know, and I prefer a bit more science with my science. That's not to me like science. Oh, your dog is not monogamous, therefore you don't have to be monogamous. You know, there's a lot of things my dog does that I don't do. And a lot of things my dog doesn't do that I do. I took my dog, and I like my dog. I took my dog to a park not too long ago, and he's, you know, he's big, he's about 80 pounds, he's a hunting dog, and so I'm over there, you know, in the park just kind of walking, and he's across the field by the baseball thing, and I notice he sticks his head down by the fence, and he comes out with a big old rat in his mouth. And so he's like, hey, look what I did. Here, let me bring it to you. And so he starts running full blast across the field, rat just blip, blip, blip. And the thing, I hate rats. I mean, I hate rats. I am scared. I am like a little baby when it comes to rats. If a rat was to come out right there, I'm jumping. I mean, I'm off. I hate them. So here he comes with me, you know, running the rat. So I'm like, I turn around, he's still coming. So that's what he does when he goes to a park. Now, I go to a park. There's a lot of different scenarios of things that I could do in the park, different activities that I could do in the park. I could play tennis. I go swimming. I could jog. But one thing I'm not going to do is find a rat and put it in my mouth. So just because my dog does that doesn't mean I'm going to do it. And I need more science from my scientists than, yo, your dog's not monogamous, therefore you shouldn't be. Is it difficult? Yes. But it makes it great. And it's like, you know, it's like there's a lot of different things. For me to be able to stand up on stage here and say with a full assurance of faith and confidence that Kim and I have been monogamous to one another for 38 years, I mean, you know, there's a lot of other stuff that could go wrong. As long as that's good, I'm good. So trust the process when it comes to your sexuality. If you're married, don't you dare. Do something outside of your marriage. Well, maybe you're not married. And you say, okay, man, he's really come down hard on the marriage here. Well, that's a good thing. Well, you know, what I practice and what I believe and what I teach everywhere I go is safe sex. You heard about safe sex. But I have a little bit different interpretation of safe sex. My definition of safe sex is before you get married, you take your sex and you put it in your safe. Then you shut the door, and you turn it, and you lock it. Then you go back out. That's safe sex. Trust the process. Then the day you get married, not the day before, the day you get married, you go to your safe, and you open it up, take out your sex, and you use it as much, as often, as long as you can. And you say, well, wait, Steve, what if I forget the combination? Trust me, you won't. You will not. You'll have it memorized, seared into your brain. See, that's safe sex, but trust the process. The world's not telling you to practice that kind of safe sex. The world is saying, man, do what you want. It's a big, sexy world out there. Be careful. Wear condoms. You know, all of a sudden, no. No, trust the process of the scriptures. All scriptures, God breathed it straight from the mouth of God. It's not from the mouth of some, you know, content creator on Instagram. It's straight from the mouth of God. Impurity, sexual immorality, impurity. Oh, man, I'm not like sleeping around or anything, but I got a few issues with impurity. Yeah, I do. But, you know, it seems like the whole world watches porn now. Everybody watches porn. And you're like, you know, Steve, is this really appropriate to talk about at church? I mean, really? Is that appropriate to talk about? Well, I think it is because it's a part of our culture now. You have your little five-year-old pajama-clad angel sitting in front of the TV watching, and, you know, it comes on, you know, the president and the porn star, news at 6. Your five-year-old's hearing about it. Your seven-year-old's hearing about it at school. Your 10-year-old, before 10 o'clock in the morning at school, has been exposed to more sin and worldliness than I was exposed to when I was 35. Because it's a different world. You know, the president of the porn star. Daddy, what's a porn star? Yeah, you know, it is appropriate to talk about it in church. Because I'm telling you, if the church ignores subjects like that, and we just say, well, that's not appropriate, and we don't want to talk about that in church, then the church is going to become irrelevant. Because it's in our culture. And we've got to have people that are willing to stand up and say, this is wrong. Sexual immorality, you know, adultery, these things are wrong. I'm trusting the process. And, you know, really what it takes some guts. You know, I mean, if you want to be a Christian these days, you got to have some serious guts. You know, when I was converted back at University of Florida, you know, we had some persecution. You know, we'd be having our Bible talks, and people would fill up a garbage can full of water and lean it against the door. So after the Bible talk, we'd open the door, and all the water would gush in, and a couple of cretins down the hall. Yeah, that's funny. Man, today, you got to be a serious man to stand up for your faith. You got to be a serious woman of conviction to stand up for your faith. Debauchery. You know what that is? Debauchery, that's an act of the sin. That's just wild partying, wild living, partying, just going nuts, getting drunk, doing drugs, sleeping around. That's what it is, debauchery. You know, when I was working as a pharmacist at Publix for 5 years, one of the great parts about it was I worked with a lot of young people, a lot of like high school seniors and college kids. You know, so I'd come in on Monday and say, hey, man, how was your weekend? And he would tell me stories that I would just be like, yeah, you know, Friday night, me and my boys went out, we did some Jägermeister, some shots, then we did some Molly, we did some ecstasy, it was awesome, went to the club, we danced like 5:30, that night I hooked up with a couple of girls, some dude, you know, just me, and I'd be like, what? So crazy. He'd say, yeah, how was your weekend? I said, whoa, my weekend was... I think Friday night I made a grilled cheese sandwich, you know, with the tomatoes nice and thin and lean. I really like that. And then I watched the ball game. Oh, and it was a walk-off home run. Crazy. But, I mean, that's debauchery. That's debauchery. That's what people are doing. Idolatry. Witchcraft. You know, witchcraft is pharmacopoeia, which is all about drugs. People doing a lot of drugs these days. Then he goes from activities based on actions to activities based on relationships. He says, hatred. You know, who do you hate today? I mean, you know, there's a lot of outrage out there, a lot of hatred, just a lot of, people are angry. A lot of hatred, a lot of discord, a lot of jealousy, lots of fits of rage. Just, you know, never happened to me, but people say, I just blacked out. I got so mad, I blacked out, and then I came to, and the guy was all beat up. Yeah, that's a fit of rage. Dissensions. Unresolved conflicts that lead to divisions. That's what a dissension is. Unresolved conflict happens in families. You get unresolved. You know, and today, it's like maybe you got a brother. Maybe you got a sister that you haven't talked to in 10 years. You know that's not right. If you're a Christian, you need to get on your knees and pray to God and ask God to help you find a way to make it right with your brother, with your sister, with your parents. I don't care if they're a huge jerk. I don't care if they're abusive. It only does good for you if you get it resolved. Factions, people that set out to promote their agenda rather than unity. But enough about politics in America. I mean, isn't that where America is today? People that are setting out to promote their own agenda, their own political agenda, rather than unity. You know, 2016, our sister church, Bridgepoint Church, with Ben Barnett. Ben invited me to come, that fall and preach sometime in November. And so it just happened to be that it was the Sunday right after the 2016 election. And Bridgepoint is primarily African American. And so, you know, Trump got elected on Tuesday. And Wednesday, I called Ben. I say, you know, hey, Ben. Do you really think this is a good idea for me to come and preach to your church this Sunday? Because I'm like the whitest guy you know. My hair's white. My skin is white. I'm just white. Are you sure this is a good idea? And Ben said, absolutely. You need to come. We know how to handle this. So I was like, okay. Just came in and we had the singing. We had, and then the one of the elders introduced me, and his name is Gerald Rankin. Amazing brother. He got up and he said, you know, I know a lot of us were not happy with the results of the election the other night. He says, but I'm here to tell you this morning that the only person who's going to fix America, the only person who's going to fix you is Jesus. Obama's not going to fix you. Hillary's not going to fix you. That big orange guy, Trump, he's not going to fix you. Nobody's going to fix you except for Jesus. And it was just like a little cloud lifted. And it's like, I felt a lot better. I think they felt a lot better. And we had a great time worshiping and communing with one another. He says also drunkenness. Where in the Bible does it say you can't get drunk? Right here. Drunkenness. Orgies. Hey, there's one I didn't do. Well, it's just because you weren't invited. See, for being honest. Drunkenness, orgies, and the like. So all the other stuff you like, you can't do. That's the acts of the sinful nature. Trust the process. You live your life by those scriptures right there, and you're going to be in great shape. You know, and I know some of you guys like more fire and brimstone with your preaching, you know? It's like you grew up, and I mean, the preacher just kind of bear down and just melt the whole row. And maybe you need more fire, more brimstone. And I know this is more of a kind of a reasonable, not lighthearted, but almost lighthearted look at sin. Maybe that doesn't appeal to you. If you need me, I will meet you after, and I'll yell at you a little bit. Come on up, I'll yell at you. I'll glare at you. I'll give you a couple of how dare yous. But see, I don't really think that's what moves us. I think what moves us is us reading the Word of God and it cutting the tissue of our spiritual heart. And we decide, I am wrong. I've been sinning. I need to repent and get my life right with God. That's what I think changes you. But trust the process. You know, the only problem with the Maps app is if you get 2% battery or zero bars, then your Map app not going to help you at all. And it's the same thing in our relationship with God. It's all about connection. You know, if the internet goes out, that ever happened to you at your house, at your job? The internet's out. What? What? What are you saying? The internet doesn't work. We don't have Wi-Fi. We ain't got nothing. We're not connected to the internet. Okay. This will be fine. We'll be fine. Then an hour later, everybody's bugging. Just, you know, because, man, we're not connected. If you're not connected with God today, you're going to have that unease. You're going to have that anxiety. You're going to, what's wrong? Something's wrong. I'm not connected to God. That's what's wrong. Trusted process is keeping that connection. You know, my mother is 85. She's getting older. And, you know, like a lot of 85-year-olds, she hates the phone company. She hates AT&T. Hates it. So every month, they charge me $200. I'm paying $24,000 a year to the phone company. And I don't want all this junk. I don't want all, you know, all these, you know, she, and the bills that they send you are just incomprehensible for a PhD, you know. She can't understand. She hates the phone. So one day she got mad and she called AT. She said, cut off the phone. That's it. I'm done. No more. Stop it. So she cut off the phone. So about 2 hours later, I get a call from my son in Montana. He's, Dad, hey, I just got to notice the phone service has been cut off because she had his on her thing because it only covered out Montana. So my 21-year-old's like, Dad, the phone, you know, this is fine. I'm bugging here. So we had to get it restored. You know, I went to Mom. I explained, you know, we got to get this thing restored or else Jackson won't have a phone, blah, blah, blah. I'll pay, blah, blah, you know, all this stuff. So I tried calling AT&T. You ever try calling one of those things? It's just like, you know, your call will be answered in the order 7 days from now. It will be. And I could not get any, I couldn't get a human. So finally, I have a buddy who's pretty highly placed at AT&T. And I call him, I say, you know, hey, Dino, do you have any kind of like ninja amazing number that I could call that, you know, I could kind of get through? He says, well, don't tell anybody, but I do. What you do is you dial 010 42 one, and then hit the pound button three times. Boop, 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 like that. It's not like even a phone number. And it's not that, but it's something weird. Like, it's not like 77084. You know, it's nothing like, it's just this weird number with symbols and all this stuff. So I'm like, well, I'll give it a try. So I tried 04201, beep, beep, beep. And it's like, good afternoon. This is Evelyn with the president's office. How may I help you? And I'm like, the president, president? No, no, this is the president of AT&T. How may I help you? This is Evelyn. And I explained the problem. And Evelyn, you know, she said, give me about 2 minutes and I'll be right back. Do you mind holding? No, I don't. So, you know, I'm holding. In 2 minutes, she comes back. She says, you're all set. And I was like, well, thank you. And she was like, yes, have a great day. Kick. And it was that simple. You know, it's all about the connection. You know, it's like, I mean, if you know people that got that magic number, and see, that's what we got with God. It's like somebody was talking to me earlier, and I'm worried about my kids. You got the magic number. You got the connection. This is not about you. You got to trust that God is taking care of your kid in Thailand. Not going to let nothing crazy happen to him. Put some faith into it. Time is on your side. God is with you. You know, it's all about the connection. So we need to just trust the process. Amen? Or as I like to say, T the P. T the P. You know, because you young guys, you like to abbreviate everything. And I'm sure you're sick of saying trust the process. So just T the P. We're going to be having our communion in just a moment or two. So let's go ahead and have a prayer for our communion. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for this time to be together this morning. Thank you for this great group of people. Thank you for the leaders. Thank you for the servants. Thank you for all the people that are watching the children. Thank you for this amazing music ministry, all the people that led our hearts in worship and song. Father, thank you for everything you do for us. I pray for every person that's here today, God, that you will help us to trust the process in our lives. Help us to know that the scriptures are God-breathed and they are useful. Teaching, training, rebuking, correcting, Father, whatever we need in our lives, whatever our spouse needs, whatever our boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever our children, whatever our parents need, that you are in control of it all. We love you very much. Thank you for this bread that we're going to be taking in just a moment. Thank you for this juice that represents the blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, who gave his all for us. We love you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.